detectives, and we love investigating cool stuff.
We do! And we're lucky to be able to chat with some super smart grown-ups
who know lots of cool facts about the world.
Hey Annika, do you know how people played music before we had computers and phones?
Yeah, my mum has a record player.
My mum has one too. I loved listening to her records when I was a kid.
Hi Simon!
Simon is a mathematician and a stand-up comedian.
And he's also a science communicator at ScienceWorks.
I am! I love nerding out and making people laugh. But I also love music.
Fact one!
How do we actually capture music?
If you'd like to learn more about how music was first recorded, we need to go way back. But first, let's start with the why. Why do you think people wanted to record music in the first place?
So they could hear their favourite song over and over again?
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have to go out and see a band play live every single time you wanted to hear a particular song. And you'd probably be waiting a long time for some bands to make it back to Australia. Okay, so now we've solved the why, let's move on to the what. And then we'll get to the how.
Okay, Simon.
We can agree that music is a form of sound, yeah? But do you know what sound is?
I've heard people talk about sound waves.
Yes! Sound is actually vibrations that travel through the air like waves on the ocean. Sound can travel through the air, through liquids, and also through solid objects. Have you ever heard bass thumping from a car with a loud stereo?
Yes!
The stronger these vibrations are, the louder the sound is. And strong vibrations can make solid things shake. Pitch is the quality of the sound and depends on the speed of the vibrations. For example, a bird or a dolphin might make a high-pitched chirping sound, and the vibrations are very, very fast. On the other hand, a whale or a cow might make a very low-pitched sound. And these are made up of slower vibrations. So, let's get back to your original question. To record music, or any sound, we need to somehow capture the sound waves. Do you know what we need to do this?
A microphone. That's what we use to record the fact detectives.
Exactly! All sound recording devices use a microphone to change the sound waves we hear into electric signals that resemble the waves.
How does a microphone work?
When you speak into a microphone, like we're doing now, sound waves hit what's called a diaphragm, causing it to vibrate in the pattern of the sound waves. This is connected to an electric circuit which causes an electric current to flow. So the sound waves are converted into an electric signal. And this is how we capture music and sound.
Fact two!
What was music first recorded onto?
The very first machines for recording sound were mechanical. Have you ever heard of a phonograph?
Yep.
No.
The phonograph was invented back in 1877. It is a machine made of a cylinder with a crankshaft to turn it, sitting on top of a wooden box.
How does it work?
The sound vibrations, the waveforms, are etched, engraved, or impressed onto the surface of the rotating cylinder. The waves look like little scribbly mountain ranges. To play the sound back, a stylus, which is a kind of little needle, traces the grooves of the mountain ranges. The stylus is vibrated by these waves, and so the sound comes back out. But the phonograph had some limitations. It was really hard to make copies of the cylinders. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a gramophone?
Not in real life, but I've seen pictures. It has a big brass thing, kind of like the big end of a tuba, right?
Yep, it sure does. That helps to amplify the sound, which means to make it louder. A gramophone works in a similar way to a phonograph, but instead of a cylinder, the sound waves are etched on a round disc called a record, which turns on a spinning plate. So for our Fact Detective fans who haven't seen a record before, can you describe what it looks like, Annika?
Yeah, it's a piece of round black plastic about the size of a dinner plate with lots of little lines tracing the shape of it.
That's right. Because the record was flat, it was a lot easier to copy the recordings. Initially, records were made of rubber or shellac, but later they were made from vinyl. But there was a limit to how much music you could fit onto a record. It was usually 15 to 22 minutes per side, so between 2 and 4 songs per side, depending on how long the songs were. Records were first invented in 1901, but unlike many other music formats that have now disappeared, vinyl records are still being recorded, produced, and sold to this very day.
Cool! Fact 3.
What are tapes?
Tape recording came after vinyl in the 1930s. The first machine was called a reel-to-reel tape recorder because it was made of 2 reels of magnetic tape. It's a little bit complicated. But basically, the sound waves are converted into an electrical signal inside the recorder. And then the magnetic particles are rearranged by magnets into a pattern that represents the sound waves. Still with me?
Kind of.
Okay, when a tape is played, it runs past what's called a playback head, which reads the magnetic patterns on the tape and converts them back into an electrical signal. This signal can then be converted into sound waves. The more portable version of a big reel-to-reel recorder came in the form of a small cassette tape. They're little rectangular objects with 2 holes in them and tape inside. The cool thing about cassette tapes is that you could make longer recordings. You could get tapes that were 60, 90, or even 120 minutes long. That means each side could be 30, 45, or 60 minutes of listening. To play a tape, you had to put it in a cassette player, and then, when the side had finished, you had to eject it, flip it over, put it back in, and then press play. Back in 1979, the Sony Walkman was released.
What's that?
It was a tape player that was about the size of a paperback book, and it was a big deal. It was the first time you could walk around while listening to your music. Remember, we didn't have smartphones back then. In fact, no one had a personal computer. There was no Spotify or YouTube. This was a big moment.
Wow!
It's so hard to imagine.
It's hard for me to imagine too. Ask your grown-ups if they ever made a mixtape for a friend. Mixtapes were a fun way to share collections of songs you loved and to let people know that you cared about them. On cassette tapes, if you wanted to hear a song again, you had to go backwards or rewind the tape to the right spot. Or if you wanted to skip a song, you had to fast forward. Physically move the tape past it. You couldn't just click a button and go to the next track. One of the downsides to cassettes was that after a while, the tape would stretch and things would start to sound very weird. You knew then it was time for a new tape.
Fact 4.
What's the difference between analog and digital music?
All the formats I've talked about so far are analog music formats, where you have to press those mountain range sound waves into a physical object like a record. Digital recordings were revolutionary because they converted sound into a series of numbers instead of waves.
How does that work?
In a digital recording system, sound is stored as a stream of numbers, where each number represents a snapshot of the sound wave at a particular time. This is tricky to explain, even to grown-ups. But basically, the numbers represent the music at tiny little sections called samples. It's kind of like how if you look very closely at a digital photo of something, it's actually a bunch of very small coloured squares called pixels. Samples are the pixels of music. The quality of digital recording is based on the sample rate and is a measure of how small the music has been broken up into numbers and how fast it is travelling from sample to sample. The smaller and faster the sample rate, the better and crisper the sound is. You have to have a device that is able to process this digital information to record it, and then play it back. Music formats became digital in the early 80s with the invention of the compact disc. The 80s was a time of big hair, big makeup, tight drums and round, flat, shiny plastic compact discs, or CDs. They could hold up to 60 minutes of music or audio and you could play them all in one go, or choose which song you wanted to hear by clicking on its number. Then in 1999, portable MP3 players like iPods were invented. A portable MP3 player was a small device for storing your music collection and listening to it.
Just for music?
Yes, only music. It's different today, where we have devices like computers, tablets, and phones that store music and lots of other things as well. The audio that we listen to comes in many formats. There are high-quality formats that are uncompressed, like WAVs, that podcast producers and sound engineers work with to create podcasts like this one. Generally, if you want to listen to a song, it would be in a compressed format of an MP3. The advantage of an MP3 is that it's way smaller than a WAV file, which means that you can fit lots of songs onto your device.
Awesome!
But there is a downside to MP3s. The smaller the MP3 size, the lower the quality. While the bigger the MP3 size, the better it will sound. If you play a low-quality MP3 through a speaker and turn up the volume, it might not sound very good.
Why is that?
It might help to return to our pixels. If you take a picture on your grown-up's phone, it looks very good on a small screen. But if you were to blow it up to the size of a wall, it probably wouldn't look very good. This is because digital images are made up of pixels, just like digital audio relies on bitrate, which describes the amount of data being transferred into audio. So a low bitrate means it won't sound very good when it's very loud. But a high bitrate means the audio will sound much better.
Fact 5.
Where will audio go from here?
It's safe to say that digital audio is here to stay, but the evolution has been an interesting one. Vinyl records are big and take up a lot of shelf storage space, while MP3s sit on your device or in the cloud. We used to own music. We used to buy physical objects like records, cassettes, or CDs. But these days, we stream songs on platforms like Spotify, SoundCloud, and YouTube. In the past, to find out about new songs, artists, and bands, we would talk to friends, or go to a music store, or read a magazine, or go to a live show. We might still do these things. But these days, AI helps us discover new music.
How?
Well, What kind of music do you like?
I like listening to pop, like Eurovision and Lizzo.
I like listening to pop, like Billie Eilish.
Okay, so if you have a Spotify account and you like particular songs, artists, and genres of music, Spotify learns what you listen to and makes suggestions for other music you might like. But it doesn't always get it right. By liking and also not liking particular songs, artists, and genres, you're giving Spotify more information so it can learn more and get those suggestions right for you.
What about in the future?
Depending on your point of view, AI could get smarter or creepier.
How?
I imagine that AI will be able to interpret our facial expressions and make suggestions. For example, we know that music can amplify a mood we're in, but also it can change it. So, the AI might ask, "Do you want to keep feeling sad, or do you want to be happy?" And then, depending on your answer, it would suggest some songs for you.
Wow, cool! Try this at home!
I've got two ideas for activities you could do at home. You could make your own mixtape, which is a collection or a playlist of songs. So you make a playlist on whatever platform you use, for example, Spotify or YouTube, or something like that. Think about who you're making the playlist for. What kind of music do they like? What kind of music would you like to introduce to them? What favourite songs would you like to share?
I want to do that.
Me too.
Okay. And for part two, go and ask your grown-ups how they listened to music when they were your age. Ask them what bands they liked and what songs they had on repeat. And now, go and listen to some music.
Okay, thanks, Simon.
Anytime, Fact Detectives.
This has been another awesome episode of the Fact Detectives with me, Annika.
And me, Esther.
And big thanks to Simon Pempina from ScienceWorks.
Simon is a mathematician, a stand-up comedian,
and a science communicator.
That was fun.
If you love finding out the facts as much as we do,
and if you have a big topic you would like us to investigate,
then get in touch at factdetectives@kindling.com.au.
This episode of The Fact Detectives is a Kindling co-production with ScienceWorks. To find out more about the world around you, head to museumsvictoria.com.au.